You're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. Now, most of you will never have heard of the movie I'm about to review. Why? Well, it's not a Hollywood blockbuster with an advertising budget large enough to finance a dozen Australian films. This one will seem to have come out of nowhere. That's because it's an independently made American film. Love is a film produced and scored by Tom DeLonge, frontman for the Californian band Angels and Airwaves. It is directed by relative newcomer William Eubank. Now, Eubank was served as a writer, a cinematographer, and production designer. Love is a thoughtful and very beautiful piece of science fiction that aspires to stand shoulder to shoulder with some of the giants of cerebral cinematic science fiction. Having seen the film, I can tell you that it is more akin to 2001 A Space Odyssey, Solaris, and Moon. It is nothing like other celebrated science fiction films like Avatar, Deep Impact, or Independence Day. So what's it all about? Well, like 2001, Moon, and Solaris, the actual plot is rather obscure. After losing contact with Earth, astronaut Lee Miller becomes stranded in orbit alone aboard the International Space Station. As time passes and life support systems dwindle, Lee battles to maintain his sanity and to simply stay alive. His world is a claustrophobic and lonely existence until he makes a strange discovery aboard the ship, a war journal from 1860.
The Journal of Captain Lee Briggs, 22nd Connecticut, 7th Infantry Division. My personal thoughts and findings leading to our discovery. June 4th, 1864.
Driven by the music of Angels and Airwaves, Love explores the fundamental human need for connection and the limitless power of hope. One American reviewer said the film was a high-impact visual adventure that resonates a common truth, that everyone has a story to tell and something even greater to leave behind. I can agree with the visual impact, but I'm not convinced by the common truth part. For once we see, with a few exceptions, a realistic portrayal of the International Space Station. Considering the set was built from throwaway items on William Eubank's parents' driveway, it is some achievement. And let's go and clear up one thing. Most films set out in outer space don't even bother with zero-G or free fall. Most of those that do just end up looking silly. The exceptions are those with big budgets, like Apollo 13 and 2001 A Space Odyssey. When you make a film costing only $500,000, if you're smart, you merely hint at zero-G by occasionally tilting the camera. In Love, you will not see a wire-supported astronaut awkwardly floating through the space station. And for me, who is super critical of the errors in sci-fi films, this worked. This film was over 4 years in the making. It had its first public screening at last year's Santa Barbara International Film Festival. The trailer for Love created significant interest with film fans. This caused it to spend a large amount of time in the top five most viewed on iTunes trailers. The movie's debut at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival was met with large crowds, Angels and Airwaves fans and curious filmgoers alike.
Thank you.
The film has now made its way to Melbourne, and it opens tomorrow at the Cinema Nova. Now, Love is the story of Lee Miller, played by Gunnar Wright. Miller is a solitary astronaut aboard the International Space Station, which has been reoccupied after a 20-year break.
ISS module 32 Delta, this is Cambridge. Do you have a fix on us? Over.
Copy that. This is 32 Delta. I've got you.
Alpha Bravo, we are linking your SATCOM pins now. Wait for transmission to follow.
Copy that.
That is Tick 89er 43.23. Follow at 32.35 times 12.67. Follow at 21.01.
ISS, your SATCOM link is now active. Houston, you have flight operation.
Roger that. Thank you, Cambridge. How are you up there?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
We're all doing well. We've been monitoring your interlink bipeds. Very pleased with the results. How are you feeling now that you've been able to settle in?
Good. Station's in pretty decent shape. The only device that seems really out of whack is the RS-7 pump. It seems to be operating at half pressure.
Oh, don't worry, we'll add it to the squad sheet.
Well, for the sake of future ISS inhabitants, I strongly recommend it.
Are you receiving the data package?
Yeah, it just started. Houston, this thing ain't opening. Do you want to resend it?
Well, why don't you give the audio a try?
All right, one moment.
Captain Lee Miller!
Yeah, we recorded it the other night.
Oh, God.
We haven't been in space for almost 20 years now, right?
I gotta say, I feel so honored and thankful to be one of the first to be going back after so long.
I'll make sure the guys get the visual for you.
A little nervous. But,
we have a comlink test down here at 2300, so we'll be back to you in the morning.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Likewise. Houston and Cambridge out.
Astronaut Lee Miller is nearing return to Earth, but then reconnection with his loved ones is marred by the sudden loss of communication between the space station and ground control.
Hey, Houston, did you pick that up? Cambridge, this is ISS 37. Did you guys pick up that radio interference?
When Lee realizes that contact with the world below is not likely to be forthcoming, he attempts to adapt to the loneliness and isolation of his surroundings. Much of the film deals with deterioration, that is, that of the space station and the erosion of the walls of sanity that Lee lives behind. As he contends with the mechanical and life support failures of the space station, he also struggles with the crushing loneliness that eventually manifests itself in voices. Whether these voices are hallucinations or just remembrances of his happier past back on Earth is left for the audience to decide. We are also left to decide why communication with the Mission Control Center in Houston has been lost. There are some visual and oral clues sprinkled throughout the film, but nothing explicitly explains what has happened on Earth to leave Lee stranded in orbit.
I'm gonna need a confirmation of any sort of mission extension from you assholes. Look, I don't think it's funny, and if you guys are doing some type of stress experiments or isolation test, well, you can stop now because I'm very isolated and very stressed. If the line is open enough for me to get a pre-recorded message, then I know you can hear me, and I would appreciate knowing what the hell is going on. Houston? Cambridge, this is ISS. Do you copy?
Gunner Wright carries a large load as the primary screen presence. He does a convincing job of showing the deterioration of a logical man. They don't choose fools as astronauts, and this man is self-aware as he is pushed into survival mode and to the bounds of sanity.
We're social creatures and we need to interact with people. That's why relationships are so important, so just crucial for existence, because if you don't talk to anybody, you don't interact with anybody, then your whole sense of reality is pretty warped.
There is a Solaris-like bend to the film, a spiritual science fiction element that will make audiences question setting and reality. A fleeting reference early in the film, easily missed if you're not paying full attention to the dialogue, suggests the end. I won't spoil the ending by telling you what it is. Suffice to say that Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey comes to mind. The ending of 2001 polarized its audience in 1968 into those who liked it and those who hated it. Love will do the same. You'll either roll with it or leave the cinema saying, "What was that all about?" Which is what some of the film critics I saw this film with several weeks ago said as we emerged onto a rain-soaked Ligon Street. Just be prepared to abandon all sense of logic. This, after all, is science fiction. For some folks, the ending of Love will be its weakest. Some would even go so far as to say the silliest part. For others, the ending will be the film's main strength, its main message. Many people who go to see this film expecting to see a space film will, for the first 10 minutes, wonder if they are in the correct auditorium. For we find ourselves in the midst of the trench warfare phase of the United States Civil War. We are with Lieutenant Lee Briggs, played by Bradley Horne, as artillery bombards his dugout. He is a sole survivor of his unit, and he muses on his situation.
My general question to that is, how do you know if what you are hearing is the work of such devious beings? I would venture to say that most devilish noises occur when large numbers of men decide to force the hand of mortality upon one another. And I'd say further that on such occasions, there is not just one sound, but many. It is a quiet orchestra of death. It is also possible that the man who wrote that saying might have just had some broke ears. I had been moved from one wiped out regiment to the next, witnessing countless mortal follies. I met General McLean in the last summer of the war. Peculiar man.
Captain Lee Briggs.
Sir.
Man of nine lives. Do you have any idea how many divisions have us pinned here?
No, sir.
Let's just say, enough to make fate unfavorable. Now, I've got a job for you, Briggs. It has recently come to my attention that an object the grandest design has been discovered east of the Colorado Basin. Given the undeniable truth that we here are on a collision course with destiny, neither I nor my men will be able to give witness to this object. But someone ought to see it. I reckon it should be you. Sole survivor of the 22nd Connecticut. One man alive is homage to the rest. Make record of your journey, Briggs. To be given a pass, to watch all others go, is perhaps the most troubling thing to one's being. Sometimes when I wake up, I feel like I'm still sleeping. I feel like all the colors and shapes of the world have collided, and all I can do is just sit there and watch. I think a person's heart has a way of turning off when it can't find reason.
I guess that's why nature has always had an inspiring presence. Everything follows a purpose. I guess we're missing something. Why do we struggle to breathe a more righteous breath when we all end up in the same place? I'd like to hope our history is worth remembering. An imprint of careful design, a feeling of heartfelt purpose, and a sense of hope for something bigger than ourselves. Then, maybe I'll wake up.
This opening sequence sets up the space station sequences that are to follow. Listen again to what may be a crucial key to understanding the film. Now, I missed this clue when watching Love.
It has recently come to my attention that an object of the grandest design has been discovered east of the Colorado Basin. Given the undeniable truth that we here are on a collision course of destiny, neither I nor my men will be able to give witness to this object. But someone ought to see it. I reckon it should be you. Sole survivor of the 22nd Connecticut.
The band Angels and Airwaves is a San Diego-based neo-prog rock band headed by Tom DeLonge. The band has been playing since 2005. For the movie Love, DeLonge has laid down a very minimalist score. The score gradually evolves as we progress from the realism of the Civil War through the silent isolation of much of the film of the International Space Station and thence to the enigmatic crescendo. One of the more interesting notes in the development of this film is that DeLonge initially hired Eubank to film about 10 music videos to accompany one of their album releases. He was so impressed by what he saw that the musician decided rather to support the director's vision of a feature film. Although made on a small budget and largely filmed in a suburban backyard, this film has the look and sound of a slick Hollywood production. To sum up, this film is clearly not for everyone. If you're keen on clarity and the linear, Love is going to leave you frustrated. Stick to Independence Day, Avatar, and their like. For others, however, the challenge of understanding what is what may lead to a desire to discuss it all with your friends. With them, you can reopen past discussions about the meaning of Stanley Kubrick's 2001, Andrei Tarkovsky's Solaris, and Duncan Jones's Moon. Did I like this film? You betcha. Although I didn't think much of the ending. Will I be paying to see it again? Definitely. My rating? 75%.
You get into a situation where absolutely nothing's in your control, it makes you wonder.
The space station itself has been empty for a long time, right? I mean, so when you get there, is there any housework to do?
Something like that ever did happen. Everybody stop talking. Everybody stop telling stories. Everybody stop relating. I think it'd be a horrible world.
If you don't talk to anybody, you don't interact with anybody, your whole sense of reality is pretty warped.
Journal of Captain Lee Briggs, 1864.
That film Love that we were reviewing there starts tomorrow at the Cinema Nova and probably other cinemas around as well. It's on limited release. You're listening to The Space Show, which is presented by members of the Space Association of Australia.